is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. Thank you to my loyal listeners. We are here this evening on Kenny's Corner, Guardian Radio, fresh news, smart talk all day. And the conversation tonight is going to be about motherhood. It's going to be a real show. You may ask, well, if the show is about motherhood, why is your intro song Under the Sling Thing? Well, in order for us to become mothers, we had to get under the sling thing. So that's why the song was selected. But I went off on a tangent earlier as we started the show, right? I have a sixth grader now, and she's in her third week or fourth week of grade six. And when I tell you I am absolutely exhausted, do not let the sound of my voice fool you. I feel like I've been in a road race and I'm last. I feel like it is a New Year's morning. I've come from Mass. I am downtown. I'm waiting for all of the other groups to traverse the boulevard. And I'm sitting on the sidewalk waiting for the Saxon superstars to make their grand appearance. And I don't have any more energy left. I am exhausted. The pickup, the drop-off. She has an exam on Friday. She has an exam tomorrow. She has a quiz. She has a project due. She has another project due. The swimsuit was there on time. Get a different swimsuit. Get a silicone head cap. Get the infrared goggles. If I am going through this, what is she going through? And then you have the teachers. And then teachers have attitudes too. And not all teachers like your children, let's be real. And then some teachers are bullies. And sometimes it's not even the children, it's the teachers. And then you wonder, like, where's the communication? And then you have your own trauma to deal with as an adult, as a woman. Because I have to be mother, lover, friend, sister, auntie, because I have two nieces. I have to get my own act together. Motherhood that we've seen in the picture-perfect images, the smiles, the matching outfits, the birthday balloons, the polished family portraits. But behind the camera lens, there's another story. A story of sacrifice, exhaustion, joy, guilt, pride, and pain, all wrapped into one title, and that title is Mom. Tonight, we strip away the filters and get raw. We're talking about the unspoken truth of being a mother. The moments that absolutely freaking break us. The moment that makes us. The nights we cry in silence and the mornings we rise unaware and in spite of because little eyes are watching us. This isn't the highlight reel. This is the real. Welcome to a conversation every mother deserves to have that every person needs to hear. Welcome to the reality of motherhood And this evening, I have with me a good friend, Mrs. Alexis Hanna. Mrs. Hanna, how are you?
Kenny, I tie in.
Oh, my God.
Just like you. I'm good, but I am tired.
Lex, I kid you not. The man asked, well, how come you had a all-female show? And then why didn't we have a male show? And so now we had a male show. Mm-hmm. And now we're having a mother show because there are women that inbox and say, well, why didn't we have a mother show? Mm-hmm. Because I feel left out. And in my inbox, there are so many moms that have sent questions. And a mom may not even always be someone that has birthed a child naturally, but she may have adopted a child, or she may have inherited, or she's a guardian.
Right.
But there are so many mothers with the same cry. And I used to think that doing it all by myself made me like the superhero. Mm-hmm. But it makes me freaking tired. And you have the responsibility of shouldering this child. I can't leave an eye anywhere because she's a girl child. You can't even leave boys anywhere.
You can't leave no one nowhere.
It was easier for me when my mom was alive because I could drop an eye by my parents. And I knew that she was safe, right? But now it's like, what do I do now? 6:30 in the evening, she's doing homework with me here in the studio. Mm-hmm. And as an entrepreneur, I don't have the luxury of a regular 9 to 5 making a good salary despite these degrees. Like, I tap out, bro. Mm-hmm. And the struggle doesn't end.
No.
And every hunt is for another job. Because I work to work again. Mm-hmm. But Lexis, you have like 22 kids.
Y'all, Kenny loves to run out. She loves to run out. Lex, I have 4 children.
How do you manage?
Every time I hear from her, the number has jumped again.
Lex, how do you manage?
Am I managing? I could tell you, it ain't for the week.
It isn't.
It's not for the week. And the situation, it's relative for everyone, right? So you have one. So you know what it is to manage the one child and know what the hardship is with that. And a friend and I were just talking about how, you know, your capacity expands. It has to.
But
people say, oh, how
more?
Do you do it? You just do it. What else you was going to do? Firstly, Kenny, what else you was going to do?
But Lex, everybody's dynamic is different. Mm-hmm. So you have, don't you have help?
I have a husband.
I don't have outside
of him and our little family unit, which is in my home. And then his mother-in-law and sometimes my sister-in-law, anything else is paid. Anything else is hired help.
Lexis,
You tap out. So when you have 4 children in private school with a mortgage and a dog, and
the dog live inside?
The dog live inside.
Great
so, you know,
God.
That's another child.
That's a child.
So when you have all of these different things going on, tap out ain't even the word.
And then you, how many girls do you have?
I have 1 girl.
So you only have to go to the barbershop for y'all 3, for you?
Well, right. And then luckily,
and then
he comes to the house for everyone, right?
So okay.
That's a gift. But yeah. I got to fix.
Well, like, right? I can't plait. So, and now I got to go to the hairdresser.
Well, I can't plait. I mean, I could fix hair, but she don't even allow me to. So yeah, she still got to go to the salon as well.
How old is your baby?
She's 7. She's 7 years old. And she is the girliest little girl, but also the most tug life little girl as well, because she is in the middle of
the boys.
3 boys. Yep.
She better get it together. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. Chris, do we have a caller on the line already? Good evening, caller. You're on.
Kenny.
Hi.
Goldie Day, this is talking voice along with you. I have a little problem I can't get reconciled around here. Spent 3 off Mason Sedition. I've been trying to call the police from that time. And they always promise me they come in, but they don't seem to come and reconcile the situation, man.
What's the problem?
The problem is this guy put some garbage right to my back door and the sand coming in, right?
Right.
And I tried to get the police to have him to move it, but the police, them jiving me. They always turning me around, man.
Give the information to Chris.
Say it again?
Give the information to Chris and we will try to solve that for you, okay?
Okay, just this guy You might know him too. He used to be around here. People say he's crazy, but he ain't crazy. He's playing crazy. He just dried the garbage, bring the garbage from other people's place, and put it, you know, in front of my back door.
Okay, just
give... And coming in through my back door, and I needed to be moved.
Okay, just give the information to Chris, and we will work on that for you. I promise you. We will get that sorted out for you. I promise we will take care of that, Raymond. We will get that sorted out. When you say to other mothers, listen, I'm exhausted, do you get a weird look?
No, I don't get a weird look. Why? You get a weird look at Kenny.
I mean, I don't know if you're looking at me weird because I don't know. I don't know. I just get the feeling in some instances based on some of these comments and questions that have come into my inbox that women judge each other in general.
No,
right?
We do. We're very judgy.
We're very, very judgy, but we all want the same things, but we're very, very judgy. And it's very weird. But what my question ultimately is like, do you think that everybody is going through something, but as a mother and as a woman, do you think that other women say, well, why can't you handle it? Our mothers handle it. Why can't you do it?
You know, I don't know if any woman who is parenting a child in this day and age could fix them out to say that.
It's rough.
I've never experienced that. I mean, yes, our mothers handle it, but our mothers handle a lot of stuff. Let's be
they
all
did.
The way real about
they
it.
They did. And a lot of things they didn't tell us.
Exactly. So we saw them as these superwomen, these superheroes, but they ain't tell all. They tell some.
Did you bring any wine for anybody else in this room?
Because I didn't know what the vibes were, but I can tell you I needed wine.
We had, where is this? Kenny's Corner. There's
always
some.
There's always room
always
for wine.
The vibe.
We have a caller on the line. Chris, do we have a caller? So we are happy to have you here with us.
I'm happy to be here.
I love your TikToks. I mean, it's just, you're right in the business right now. Chris, do we have a caller? Good evening, caller. You're on.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Right on reach. You know, you have to go quick.
Yes.
Tell Raymond. Raymond was running, doing this problem now for a while. He needs to talk about the urban renewal in Centerville, because he's in the Centerville constituency. They have an active urban renewal office. He needs to go up there and let the people bring him down in the police car and let him. But he can't show them because, you know, need him in the same condition.
Yes, I do.
But
yes.
He needs to go to the urban renewal and let them deal with that man.
Yes.
Almost every day he has this problem with these same people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
You know, but that's for that. But let me say something about mothers.
Go right ahead.
However you all take my mother, that's your business. That's my mother, and I love her to death. She's dead now, but I loved her until the last breath.
Yes.
My mother had 9 children.
Wow.
9. My mother was never married.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my mother's last child. I'm 57.
Yes, sir.
I've never saw my mother with a man.
Right.
And the strangest thing about my sister, those always laughed at me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why, mommy? Bedroom door is the only bedroom. Oh, bedroom with a back door.
Right.
But I never seen a man come to my mother yet.
But
my mommy's bedroom had a back door. And as I get older, then I put it together. I say, okay.
Now you get it.
She's
you.
A smart woman.
Now you get it.
Yeah. But Kenny, let me tell you this.
Yes.
My mother used to cook corned beef soup.
What?
That's how watery the corned beef used to be.
Why it used to be watery?
With cabbage and carrots and potato in it.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something.
Tell me.
My mommy had 7 of us living together with her. She made 8.
Yes.
In one house on Moore Avenue.
Yes, sir.
And then my mother done take up our food. Nobody, everybody full.
Mm-hmm.
You get your corned beef and rice. You get your ping a Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
And we eat corned beef for that in the morning with grits. The same one tin of corned beef.
Mm-hmm.
The corned beef ain't got no bigger.
Right.
The can ain't never got no bigger.
No.
The sardines still only get 4 sardines in it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I these people come. I have a son. Yeah, my son will eat a whole can of tuna, an old thing of mackerel. What is they name the mackerel and he's
I know what you mean. Yes.
Crab dinner? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Man, seven of us had to share that.
By themselves, they eat the whole thing.
I understand. I understand. I understand.
Man, but listen to me, man. The mothers today, I salute a lot of them. But brother, I'm a man.
Yes.
And I'm a 100% alpha male man, but we are some lousy fellas with him. You know, I'm going through I am so tempted to call his name.
No,
I'm going through a thing now with my daughter and I only can call him now her daughter daddy.
Yes.
I can't call him nothing else other than that right now.
Yeah. I understand.
You know, it is so sickening, man, these days. But these young people, they fall in love. They see the boy get a little red color and get one little pretty under their love.
Yeah, you're right.
They love for the wrong thing. But I tell them, if that's the case, let me buy one under.
And call it a day.
And that's it.
Exactly.
Come on, man. But you women, I salute you all, man. And
thank
again,
you.
I know you're going to handle it. I know you can take it on. So as soon as my ride come, I go on. But until then, I can listen to you.
All right, I appreciate you. And please...
continue listening.
Please pray for us, eh?
Every Tuesday night and every Sunday.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate you.
That lady, Kennedy?
Yes, sir?
That lady with the T-shirt.
Yes.
I need her to... I need to leave a number with Chris so you could get her to give her mine. Because me and I was having some contacts, and then my phone got... misplaced with a number in it.
Okay,
I have some work for her.
Okay, leave it with Chris for me. Don't ring up.
Ma'am.
Give it to Chris.
Hold on.
Chris. Chris will get it from you. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Okay, so you came into the studio. You didn't bring any wine for anybody else.
First of all,
yeah, let me hear it. Go ahead.
Protocol was not established. So I wasn't sure if you guys were interested.
I'm always interested.
I have a bottle that I was sipping off of that you guys could also enjoy from my car. Can we send someone together?
Who would we send in the dark?
It won't be me.
No. So
what about the guy downstairs? Yeah. I could give him my key.
No, we'll get it after the show.
No problem.
Immediately after.
Immediately. Because, honey, the schoolwork is schooling, and I am tapped out.
You're telling me, sis.
This show was very timely. So this is a question we had 48 questions in my inbox.
Oh, Lord.
From the flyer.
Mm-hmm.
One question that stood out was, do you ever feel guilty for not enjoying every moment like people say you should?
I'll answer first.
Go ahead.
Absolutely not. I never feel guilty because when I'm in the trenches every single day, I'm in the trenches experiencing it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm having fun and having a time and it's me time, I'm going to enjoy that 100%. Now, I will say, maybe with my first, I wouldn't even say with my, to be honest, I believe in doing things 100%. So if I'm in mother mode, you can ask Alexis, I'm doing it 100%. I'm cooking the meals, I'm packing the bags, I'm feeding the kids 100%. When I out in the streets and having myself a time.
We in these streets.
I in these streets 100%. And I feel like I deserve it because, of course, balance. Nobody, men don't feel guilty as
fathers.
They
don't feel guilty, sweetie.
They don't feel guilty. Whether they're single dads, whether they're married, when they're in the streets, they're having a time. Mm-hmm. So why must we feel guilty?
And I agree because can I tell you, like, my going out times are few and far between. Like, mm-hmm. if they have an old school reggae night, I am there, honey. Mm-hmm. If they are having, well, Junkunu idea, like you, someone go mine, huh? Because I go into Junkunu.
Figure it out.
You're going to figure that out because I go into deal with the parade, right? That is my time.
That's you.
That's what I need that, right? And then, like this week, Saturday, they have the Paradise Place.
Mm-hmm.
I go in outside, okay?
All the way
out. Be out in the streets.
I go in outside. I can get my face too and put on my bloody glitter and I go in outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I show us, can I, where, and I home.
Why?
Why shouldn't I be here with me?
Why would that
And they like
sense?
To ask, where are your children? Well, they ain't in my back pocket.
In my pocket.
They ain't in the car, so they home.
She in the car sleeping.
Okay. But you know what it is? We could say that, right? But same lady over here who I just, we just was cracking big joking the other day, but how she just pull off from dropping the baby off, and she done call, and she even pull off from the yard, good, yeah, hey, how you doing, everything good? Oh, yeah, what's happening with y'all? And then what was it that I was hearing you say the other day about how, and I left you and gone out with a little friend, and he was like, well, what happened?
And I mean, and I didn't even spin back around.
So not y'all is lies. Bye. Y'all is lies, and the truth is not in you.
She even didn't spin around. Is what I'm trying to say.
I don't. It's not guilt, you know. For me,
you just
feel
won't be
like,
up under them.
No. Maybe. But what I'm trying to say is, there's a time and a place.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I believe, I thoroughly believe in enjoying my time, but I also don't like to be outside. I may talk a good game.
She's
Kenny,
talk a good game.
But 11 o'clock, when the clock strike, I have to be home. I have to be with my family because that's the kind
ain't
of
nobody even calling up. Me, I trying to see if I could turn my phone off so nobody call me to try track me. I don't need them to be clocking my location, trying to figure out where it is because I out.
I am out.
I out.
I out.
Out until 11.
Meanwhile, she checking phone. Oh, let
11.
Me see if my husband call me. Anybody need me? That time he's
nobody
need
me to find outside. You out?
I outside until 11 p.m. I can't let that clock strike 12 and I outside because the shoes could disappear and the carriage and all them. I have to go home.
You could turn my girl, could
turn
into
pumpkin.
Into pumpkin.
I have to go home. This
is another question. Have you ever felt resentment towards your partner, family, or even your kids for the weight of mother? Sorry, I'm reading this incorrectly because keep in mind now, just how people speak, mm-hmm. they send me mm-hmm. their message. Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt resentment towards your partner, family, or even your kids for the weight motherhood places on you?
Of course. immediately yes. Yes, 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 yes. Most definitely.
But what kind of resentment is it? To the resentment to the point where like, listen, y'all need to come from around me.
So it's a few different things. I think, let's say, I remember the first time that I felt this way, right? So this would have been, I guess, postpartum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you home, you with the baby all day. It's just you. You're all locked in. And, you know, it's like, okay, when you reach home, die, get rid. Like, you next up. Like, I don't know what's going on. It's like, oh, no, I need a moment to unwind and all these different things. And I'm like, I get that because you're a human being, but where's my moment to unwind?
Exactly.
And all of this? Where's the buffer period in between? So, you know, of course there's resentment that comes. It creeps in. A lot of it comes from, and I'll always say this for everything, a lack of communication in terms of, you know, your relationship with whoever the next person is that has charge of these children with you.
It has communication has to be key.
So, yeah, the communication has to be clear, but there's always resentment that comes in. And I think it's just about, you know, being able to shift and reframe in certain things. I told a story in my stories earlier today about how, you know, I was going in the schoolyard and I was mad because, oh, number one, I can't believe I had to go to work, then had to do all this to get them out of the door. You know the things that we have to do before we even sit down on somebody's job at 9 o'clock.
Yes,
right?
I do.
So firstly, you don't just feel resentment towards your family and your husband and the children. You feel resentment towards everybody.
Every.
Because
I'm telling you.
When I pull up to my job at 9 o'clock and I'm like, I done lived so many lives before I reach here. And meanwhile, you strolling in at whatever hour. And it's literally you just gone to go pick up a coffee from Starbucks. But I done had all this to do in the morning, and I trying to judge, you know, nobody, because everyone have their own things. But yeah, I know that I done put in a lot more work before I walk in the store in the morning.
So don't come here with your crap.
So that's how you feel, right? But you have to be empathetic or sympathetic.
Yeah, but my empathy is worn out.
Right.
Same, sis.
So empathy is worn out.
Yes,
honestly.
You feel resentment towards everybody. Anybody could get it. It don't matter. It could be the children because it's like, yeah, y'all have me in this position, but they asked for that, remember? So.
But by you saying everybody could get it, and I don't know if this is like grief or part of trauma, but since I've always been a very vocal person, mm-hmm. and I think that I overshare, and I think that I'm a very bad body language interpreter. You will know how I feel about you from my body language and look mm-hmm. on my face. And so when it comes up to that portion of it, right? the resentment of it, and the trauma, it just it makes you feel some type of way.
It'll make you feel a type of way. It would. And yet again, that's where the communication comes in, right? Because instead of talking about it and vocalizing it, sometimes you're sitting there, you're being passive aggressive, you're doing all these different things instead of just saying, hey, you know what? I feel this way. Let's talk about it. And but no, I sitting there, the people walking the door, you cutting your eye and sucking your teeth and doing all kind of things because you mad because I've been here in the house with these children all day. You know,
that's annoying. Of way. And can we be honest? Children are annoying.
They are.
Children are. Do we have this conversation all the time?
Partners are annoying. They all are annoying.
They are annoying.
Especially when you are overwhelmed. And as mothers,
that's the thing.
All these children.
But you know, how many children you have?
I have 4 in total. So okay. 3 that live with me and my stepdaughter. So 3 that live with me every single day.
And a husband.
So after the full day of being overstimulated, and I'm not a stay-at-home mom. I'm a working mother that works from home. There's a big difference.
But you works know, from you, home. You know that works from because, home with a 1-year-old.
With a 1-year-old.
But do you know that we do more work working from home than Hello? We do out in the field?
Hello, yeah. somebody. Because I could tell you.
You have to multitask. You have to put the clothes in the washer, mm-hmm. take them out the washer, dry them, and then because I fold and dry and put up the same time.
We just had
I can't
this conversation.
Have no clothes lingering around.
I want a good woman.
I want the dishes washed and put away. I don't want the dishes in my sink. My
just hanging out. Like me, that. Same. And then when my son come home at 3:15, mommy, where's the food?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the hot meal? What you cook today?
What my you son, today?
I'm 5. Yeah. What you cook today?
Yeah.
I just come off a 4-hour meeting mm-hmm. trying to save the world, and you ask me what I cook?
Boy, so, triangle.
Hello. So it's. I just feel like it. I think for me, honestly, I think working from the home makes it a lot more difficult because I feel like if we both were leaving the house and both were in an office or whatever, it would make the perspective a little bit different.
That's how you feel?
So, that's how I feel because I could be wrong, but I could tell you, my husband in his mind believed that I at home watching Netflix.
All she's doing, she's scrolling on TikTok and kikiing because she is calling me all day while I on my 9.
But I'm doing that, but I'm also saving the universe at the same time with a 1-year-old child mm-hmm. on my shoulder. So.
But do you know, Friday nights, I just want to take an Ambien and go
and sleep
to
the
my
weekend,
bed.
Really?
Because the grief still has me in a bit of a chokehold, mm-hmm. right? So my sleep doesn't come. So I'll go to sleep or I'll doze off like 12. By 2 o'clock, I up. I have to be up for 5:45 mm-hmm. because we live west mm-hmm. and I got to get her to school. The first bell ring, 8:15. Then you got to deal with the teachers. You got to deal with the parents. You got to deal with this. You got to deal with that. And nobody gives you a break.
No
and you
one.
Have to be on all the time.
All the time.
You have to be on all the time.
And then after all that, you're getting top on your shoulder at 1 in the morning.
You better turn over.
Performance time.
I say high performance based.
I can give you Shirley Street at best.
Wow.
Honey. Like at best.
Honey, I giving you Russell Square every time.
That's your problem.
That's the problem. That's why you can't sleep. Because you performance. Maybe I can give you Shirley Street, but I can't give you Bay Street.
And you know, once you see the tree shaking on Shirley Street, you know that performance is.
It's too much. It's really too
it is,
much.
And listen,
and
that,
I
top,
don't think,
that top is be top, top.
And it is be, my, let me tell you, for my good husband, he'll tap twice if you don't feel it. Okay, because maybe it's time to wake up. And I'm like, sir, I'm trying
time
my best.
For subtlety is over.
Subtlety has gone out of the window.
Wow. You can't play dead anymore. Gone are the days where you could just stay still and hope.
And hope springs eternal.
Listen,
but listen, being a mom, being a woman is so much. And then you have
it's
to deal with catty women. You want the best for your 4.
Mm-hmm.
You want the best for your 4. Mm-hmm. I want the best for my 1. But you will literally pluck my eye out of my head. I was on a call the other day, right? We were all vying for a job. And I said to myself, I know, I shouldn't say I know that I'm not going to get it, right? But what is the likelihood of me getting it? Because you have every contract in Nassau locked right down.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what is the possibility that I'll really get it? But then you say to me, oh, I want to hire you to do something. I give you my price. When I give you my price, you know what you say to me?
Mm.
Oh, that's too high, man. You don't play with me.
Because you're paying the same price for everyone else.
Don't play with me. Mm-hmm. Okay? Why my child can't go to Life Vicky school too? Mm-hmm. Why can't I have the same thing? Mm-hmm. But women, it's women who hold the power, and the women are unrelenting when it comes to being mean. It's like a mean girl society out here. One more question. I have to ask
Let's get through them.
What was one secret? Oh, Lord. I wish my texters. What's one secret you've kept about your struggles as a mom? And because being honest about your struggle as a mom is a weird thing nowadays.
Yeah.
I think it used to be, right? And I think because I overshare, the grief thing used to be a thing now. But now as I look, more people are speaking about the grief.
Of course.
Like, it's like, Kenny, you said this, and listen, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm going through. I'm getting married in a few months, right? Mm-hmm. And the mere fact that I know that my mom is not going to be there, I feel some type of way, but I'm saying to myself, I have to get through this that I could walk down that aisle. Mm-hmm. I have to get through this because I got a woman up. But you don't get past your trauma.
Nope.
But we're talking about the trauma that we would face. What about our children? Our children are transitioning into different stages of their lives. This is where my daughter's 11. She's going into big school next year.
Yep.
But does she get everything that she needs? Is she peer pressure and this and that? And do they get it?
Yeah. So I think for me, when you talk about one thing that I guess struggle with one secret, which, I mean, if anybody knows me, no secret. For me, there's mom rage. I will go into a fit. I could talk a little bit here and there, and I could be very, like this one always saying, oh, you know, it's always gentle parenting and all this.
Gentle parent for gentle kids.
And with the assuring and gentle baby cakes.
And then it gets to a point where it turns into a fit. You could throw a tantrum, I could throw a bigger one. So, I mean, if that's what we're doing, that's what we're doing, right? So that is one thing that I would say that I struggle with. I try my hardest to kind of, you know, after I come back down from this tantrum, be like, oh, Lord, let me see how I could try and deflect this situation. Because I got to walk back out. You see the meme where the woman has come back and be like, hi. I'm coming back out to my family. Like, yeah, I just blow up on the whole house. And I got
to
come
but
back out.
But you caused
out
it. Y'all caused me to blow up on
But see, that's the resentment part there again. Because it ain't necessarily that. It's sometimes it's literally just them being children. But because of the overwhelm, because of the stress from, you know, all the outside stresses and whatnot. I tired saying the same thing too, but it's me being touched out. Like before I came here, 5 o'clock, I still working. I'm on a call, trying to talk to my boss, trying to talk to one of the external stakeholders. I in my big girl job, trying to manage different things, and the little boy is in the background at the top of his lungs with the driest face, screaming.
For what?
Screaming. Nothing, because I'm on the phone. He said, "Mommy, you promised me I could use your phone when you get home." I said, "Yeah, but I still on the clock." Like, so he's there at the top of his lungs screaming, and I'm trying to still be professional on the phone over here, still try and manage the situation at the same time. I go in the bathroom and lock in the door so I could quickly wrap up the call and come back out here and then cuss the whole house out, right?
But do you know that I hide in the car?
I went in the car for about 30 minutes to finish up a call. I do that on a regular basis.
And I eat my fries, and I'm not sharing my fries because I sit in the car and I eat my fries. I'm not sharing my fries because you always put your finger in my food.
Mm-hmm. I would sit in the car, and then now I realize I have to sit like around the back or the side of the house because when I pull up, they hear me and they at the window like this, looking and trying to open the window and knocking. Mommy, you coming inside?
No, yes. I ain't coming inside.
So, yeah, no, that's one thing that I would say is a big thing for me, like blowing up on them all the time. And then, you know, I guess it's from being overstimulated and overwhelmed a lot. I think a lack of presence when I'm actually with them. That's one thing that I would say that I regret and I'm always trying to work on.
There's another question, and this I'll ask you this one. Do you feel like you had to mother yourself before you could mother your child?
I do. And I think, well, when I first became a mom, I was young. So I was learning how to deal with her. I was learning how to be an adult. I was learning how to be a mother. So it was definitely a lot of mothering myself. And even now, years later, I still think it's a learning process. I think motherhood is a daily learning. understanding that even though I was brought up a certain way, mm-hmm. my parents had their way of doing things. My mother had a way of doing things. That's not what I want to do. I want to be different from that. Yes, there's some things I'll take from it, but there are some things that I want to do different or mm-hmm. better. And so I do think it's a daily learning process. And like my kids are in different stages. I have a 14-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 1-year-old in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And especially with my 14-year-old mm-hmm. learning to mother in a way where she's still open with me and transparent. And she is one of my little friends, someone that could talk to mm-hmm. me and feel comfortable enough with me, is a lot different from what I'm going to do with my 5-year-old, who I want to take out every single day because he's challenging me.
Yeah, not on a date.
Exactly, and not on a date. So I definitely think it's a daily mothering, learning experience.
And you have to learn your children differently. Like, mm-hmm. of course, I only have one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think with girls, it's different. Mm-hmm. I think there comes the attitude and the hormones and the everything else. And there's some days where I have to be 100% honest. There's some days that I think that I am a complete failure as a mother.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
I get up in the morning. Did you make your bed?
They don't remember none.
Oh, I go right back. Did you tidy up the bathroom?
No.
Did you wash out your cup?
Can I tell you, at 14, you could still be asking them same questions.
We just told her
on the weekend.
I might as well tell you at 14 and... For me, I just can't understand, right?
Don't you get tired of me talking?
Last week I row you. The week before I row you. Why am I rowing you about the same thing today?
But don't
girl,
you
can give me all the updates on life, on everybody in school, everything that's trending, mm-hmm. but you can't remember to do the basic things in your life? Like, where's the disconnect?
The disconnect.
What is going
is
on?
That
I don't get where
they're at developmentally. You just finished saying all the hormones and all the different things. And she always just be rolling her eyes at me and doing all the heavy breathing and and because I always come to her from the child development side of
yeah.
things, because that's something that I study, like I in it with that.
I
need to know. I mean, but the thing is, right? You hone every other craft. You have 40,000 masters, right, Kenny?
Yeah, and no job.
Yeah, but guess what? Hold on.
I can't.
You don't got no masters in early childhood development or parenting or none of that. But
no.
You deep in this game with that. You have a big job with that.
That's a big job.
So what I'm saying is, I think as a part of just mothering, as a part of your just personal development and curriculum as a mother, a parent, or any sort of caregiver, anyone who has charge of someone else, I think it's important to learn where they are developmentally to know how to move. In the same way that teachers have to do that to know how to speak to children at a certain level and what
some of these
to expect.
Teachers tap out too. Some of these teachers is really just doing this job just to do the job.
Well,
they don't. Some of them don't care.
But that's in every field, though, Kenny.
Yeah, but I don't think you should be in the teaching profession knowing you tap out. I don't think that you should be in the teaching profession saying little weird things to children. I think as a teacher, there has to be some level of professionalism. I taught at
LWE. Filter,
mm-hmm.
And
you have to
yeah.
be. There has to be a filter.
No, there has to be.
If I am the parent. Even though I don't think it should be a differentiation with the government and private schools. I taught English language and literature at L.W. Young. Mm-hmm. If the parent comes to me and has a conversation, how dare I say to the child, I don't know why your mother come here today.
No, that don't come before,
that don't come before the
child.
That don't come before the child. But these teachers today, they say the weirdest things to parent to children.
They do.
And so then
and
when,
I've heard it.
And when the parent reacts a particular type of way, you wonder why. But some of these teachers are bullies too.
The bullies,
yeah.
But a lot of adults right now are bullies because they don't, honestly, and the way a lot of persons have been raised, millennials in particularly.
They don't have no.
We were bullied from our parents.
Right. So
not
talk
not
about
me personally, but I'm just saying our generation.
On the whole.
We were bullied by our parents. So we don't know anything different when it comes to becoming parents or becoming decent adults. And so it takes a very in-tune person mm-hmm. to realize that, okay, what I do and don't make sense. I was wrong. And I apologize to my children all the time.
I apologize.
There's times when I know, okay, you're taking it too far, girl. Like,
but some of y'all, really shouldn't be in the teaching profession.
Yeah,
and as a parent, mm-hmm. I read the other day too, like when you... you should apologize to the child as well.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to come down to the child's level
and say, honey, baby, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Because we are not always right. But I think that sometimes, right? Like, I always go back to the same thing. My mom was the eldest of all of her siblings. Mm-hmm. And my mom said by the time she had become a mother to myself and my brother, she was tired of being a mother.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
She was tired. But mommy, that didn't mean mommy didn't raise me, because mommy raised a beast, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you get tired as a mother. You carry the weight of the world because you're not only mothering. Mm-hmm. You have a tendency to miss so many things.
Mm-hmm. And we say that because that's you thinking from the aspect of being a failed parent again, right?
Yes.
We miss so many things.
And you do have...
But think about all of the things that you did not miss.
Right. And you do have some parents up there that think, well, my child is perfect and we have the most perfectly manicured this and my child is that. And honey, and what you think people don't know, people do know.
Exactly.
Your son ain't perfect. We know that he had a DUI. We know that he got shipped back here for a reason. We know that your daughter is a total disaster. Mm-hmm. But that's just it. That's children are going to be children.
And I think that's the thing that we don't think of. Yes, they are children. They're still learning. They're still growing up until whatever age, the doggone with the thing name, up until after age 25, the hippocampus or whatever is still not completely developed.
It's still.
So, you know, you have to give them grace and you have to give yourself grace. So when you talk about, all the ways that you failed, think about all the wins.
I got to count them one by one. This is another question. And I guess you and I could answer this. I don't know if it's happened, but...
At a very young age, if you're talking about loss.
Yeah, this is here. How do you balance healing yourself while raising your kids? Because you had a double... Your parents died within...
2 weeks. So yesterday would have been the second anniversary of Daddy's passing. And then 2 weeks before that for Mommy.
But Lexis, how you say, this is weird, but how are you still sane?
I realized, and someone asked me this on Sunday, because I spoke at the candlelight vigil for the Alzheimer's, for World Alzheimer's Month. Mm-hmm. And they asked me, people in the audience, and they crying and bawling, and they're asking me, how are you standing here and reading this? Like, how are you doing this without, you know, and still could... you know, have a smile on your face and whatnot. And I realized that I have to take myself out of the equation. Like, if I'm reading it, I wrote it, yes, but I'm reading it, like, in the third person. I'm not even thinking about it as myself. I'm reading it as though it's someone else's story. Mm-hmm. Because if I were to really place myself in those shoes and be fully present in it, I mean, I'd be walking the streets and counting Lambeau, too. That's just the reality of it.
Awesome.
I think also for me... And this one always is telling me, yeah, you ain't never take no time to grieve.
But how do you do it?
When you say take time to grieve, how do you do it? Well.
You don't.
You don't. But what I did do over the last few months is I've learned to let a lot of things go. I've learned to understand that it's okay that there's a duality in life, like in life that there's death and there, no matter what, that, you know, joy and pain and sadness, they coexist. So what are you going to do? Yes, it's going to be sadness. Yes, it's going to be all this. Are you going to dwell on that? Or are you going to try and focus on the joy in things? And that right there has helped me to be a mother who is mothering from a place of joy, mothering from a place of love. And I could tell you that it changed because I've been in survival mode for however many years and trying to parent while coming from that place ain't no joke.
I don't think, just like Mrs. Thomas would have just said, did you ever really take time to grieve? I purposely didn't.
No, I mean, I had to. So for a while, in order for me to be able to move on and do whatever, and just like while being in that mode of being a caregiver, you can't stop to be like, oh, woe is me, or try. No, you got to do. You still got to do.
And you still got to do
for your children. What I said to someone in another speech was, no matter what, like, one thing that people don't tell you about grief is that motherhood trumps grief. It trumps everything. Mm-hmm. So you see all those memes and those reels with the moms breaking down and crying and the child still coming to them to open a snack or whatever. That's real life. That's on a daily basis household. That just happened. I was on the call and the teacher come to me to ask me to cut open their Laffy Taffy while I trying to talk business on the phone. Like, they don't care.
Mm-hmm. Nobody
but
cares.
But guess what? It ain't their job to care either. Yeah. So you got to figure out how you're going to come out on the other end of it to still take care of the people who God has given you charge of.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think for me, right, I never got an opportunity to grieve. And I didn't have the chance to because mommy left that day. And that very next day, I had to take a night.
You was on the plane.
I had to leave to take a night to get her eyes tested. And so from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock the next morning, my eyes were wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I came back and I dealt with, the funeral arrangements with Daddy and Donovan. And can I tell you, when you're raising a child after you would have had grief, your family dynamic has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Your family is never the same. And you made a comment like after certain things happen, you're never the same and anybody could get it. But could I tell you, I've always been, I guess, mouthy, some people call it. But I just refuse to take any nonsense. Like, I am taking your foolishness. Like, who are you talking to? Like, my mom had gone to glory and anybody can get it.
Mm-hmm. That's literally it. Like, it don't matter no more.
Because mommy used to save some of y'all, to be quite honest.
Exactly.
But I just think that as a mother, oh, man, the conversation can go on forever and ever and a day. But as a mother, it is a lot. And people do not understand what it really is. And we take for granted a lot of times that, hey, we could do this and we can be all right. But it's a lot. It's a lot. If there was one thing that you could say to other mothers about the real deal of motherhood, what would it be?
Honestly, for me, and then this is my motto in life, I know, like, the situation is fluid. Once you remember that, and then, like, no joke, the situation is fluid. It don't matter. Like, you could be sitting here. And then you could get a call right now and say, okay, yeah, the child just swallowed something, we got to run to the hospital. Oh, well, it's time to get up and move and just do. You can't be rigid in anything is what I'm saying.
You can't be.
You have to be adaptable, you have to be flexible, and you have to be able to bend to whatever the situation calls for, because the situation in motherhood, like life, is fluid. I think that's my one takeaway from it.
This is a text from my text line. I'm sorry, my texters, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, crime needs to be okay. Great show today. You are all great women who are involved with your family. Your emotions are normal. It is the way God made you all. You all still answer your husband call 1 and 2 a.m. mm-hmm. in the morning. Keep God first in your life and continue to support your husbands. You and your children will be blessed for it. Well done. Mm. This is the next text. Are those teachers bullies, or are they traumatized from young and underdeveloped adults?
You just said that, Thomas.
Mm-hmm. This is the next text that has just come in. And this text reads, okay, Kenny, what is the hardest sacrifice you've had to make as a mom? I know that you don't know who this is, but I do remember you having lost triplets, mm-hmm. being divorced, and now you have one girl child. Is it harder to deal with the divorce or the loss of your mother as a woman? You often say that your mother raised you rough, but does that make you raise your daughter rough?
I was going to ask you that too.
I don't know. I don't know. I think I try not to be rough as my mom was. My mother was a girl from Milton Street.
Mm-hmm.
And mommy came up rough. She didn't have all of the luxuries. She met daddy. They got married. The luxuries. Daddy had the luxuries. Mommy didn't.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had to survive. And I always say that my mother loves family, but the family didn't always love my mother back. And I saw that when my mother passed. I try to raise Anai with love, and I try to give her things that I didn't have. And those, and it isn't even material things, because right. I had everything. I had, went to private school, horseback riding lessons, vacations. I didn't have a need for anything as a child. But I always thought that my mom would be like the moms on Leave It to Beaver and stuff like that. Like, I wanted that type of mother. Mm-hmm. But mommy wasn't soft. Mm-hmm. Mommy was hard. And mommy was like, get up. Get up in here on Saturday morning. You won't watch the Flintstones, but you can clean. Mm-hmm. You could go out any. You won't come back from school and do, you could go out. But Sunday morning, we can be in church. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you're doing. Mommy didn't play no games. And one thing with my mom, you can know what she's thinking. Either she like you or you don't. It's either or. I try to raise an eye with love. To answer the rest of the question, I don't know. I don't know that I have healed. I haven't. I don't know how to answer that question, but I will tell you, I do the best that I can every day. I get up every morning and I try. Mm-hmm. I teach Anai that prayer is very important. But I don't know if I'm raising her the same way that my mother raised me, but I raise Anai to be rough still, because she's an only child. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have any siblings. I don't have any sisters. I have a brother. Mm. And if something should happen to me, then what happens to Anai? She has to know that this is a big, mean, nasty world out here, and people will take advantage of you. And Anai has a soft heart, and he just teaches to her. Oh, she talks all the time. So what? I talk a lot too.
Exactly.
But I think I raise Anai hard to a certain degree. Mm. Now I will tear her tail up, and I will box her up. But I guess I do raise her hard, but not as hard as my mother raised me. Like, my mother raised me. My mommy, she raised a beast. And that is the truth of the matter. So, Texter, I hope I answered that question. But I don't know. There's no manual, and I try to do the best that I can. That is as best as I could say. But there's still trauma. I still go to the graveyard, and they always have the graveyard locked. So when it open, I go in. I hope I answered your question as best as I could. This next text reads, how do you handle the mental load, the endless list, How do you handle the mental load, the endless list, tasks, and responsibilities no one sees? Any one of y'all could take that question. Because I don't.
You don't. For me, every single morning I wake up, I pray and I ask God to give me whatever I need to manage the children in my household and not to crash out. That's my mm-hmm. prayer every single morning, honestly.
But I crash out every morning.
But before I crash out, I pray, God, give me what I need to deal with each child individually, because you know they all need something mm-hmm. different. And help me not to crash out. That is my prayer. Mm-hmm. And some days it works. Some days it don't. And my to-do list is never ending. It's like a constant journey. my to-do list, every single day there's more and more and more. And things aren't getting checked off.
No, it's
and
just not getting
out. I'm okay with that. Because I know I can only do so much. I do the best I can every single day. I put my priorities there. If I get to do one thing and then I do that one thing well, mm-hmm. pat on my back. But one thing I ain't doing is stressing myself out anymore about not being able to do it all. Because it's only so much I could do.
Do you compare yourself to other mothers?
Absolutely not. I used to. I think I'm in a point right now in motherhood where, and I don't know if it's the third child syndrome, but I really could care less. Like, I know what I need to do. I know what my family needs. I do the best that I can. And what isn't done, it is what it is. It's only so much I could do. And I can't keep beating myself up about that. And I had to learn that. And I had to realize that it's okay to not be great and not be perfect and just to survive. If it's nothing else I did on my to-do list, I survived
the day. We survived this day.
And that's all. And it is what it is.
We have a school chat for my daughter, my daughter's school. And one of the moms says, she's taking it week by week. And I'm gonna go a little further and I'm going to say that I'm taking it day by day.
Hour by hour.
Exactly.
I'm taking it hour by hour.
In intervals. I'm like, okay, let me get through the morning shift. Ooh, let me get through this. Let me get through this. Hour.
And I hate the 3 o'clock traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you turn around is a project, is a test, is an exam. And I'm wondering, like, is the diocese applying this pressure? And then they have to get these things done. Like, what the hell y'all really doing?
Mm-hmm. It's too much.
Oh, I have a question. So remember the conversation that we been having a little while, you know, in book club about, you know, whether as a parent you are going to say, you know, you're doing whatever the utmost, the best thing is for your child. You're going to do that and do it to the best of your ability and make it happen. They're going to go to this best school. They're going to be doing these things at the detriment of you, I should say, because that means you have to go out of your way to do this. You're doing this and whatnot. Or are you doing things that are going to be harmonious and helpful for you, your mental health, and for the whole family? Are you looking at it from that lens? Like,
I think I hear Anai saying that she wants to go to St. Augustine's.
Mm-hmm.
I went to St. Augustine's. I got kicked out. I, of course, for fighting in my mouth. And I went to St. John's, and St. John's embraced me, and I did wonderfully at St. John's. Thank God for Ali and Nash Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
My matriculation process was fantastic. My first day at St. John's, I ended up in the principal's office, and that's where I remained for a full year. And because of Mrs. Ferguson, I had to read the dictionary every day.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do different things. That is what St. John's did for me. Anai wants to go to St. Augustine. She's not going to go. Not because everybody else is going that you've been to Savius with is going to go. She was at the little schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went to Summit Academy. Then she went to Savius. I went to Savius. My mom, Donovan, mommy wanted to see her graduate from Savius. So God willing, she will graduate from Savius. But she's not going to go follow everybody else because everybody else is going to St. Augustine's.
Mm-hmm.
I think that St. Augustine's will swallow Anai.
But you have to know your child.
I think it's
some children. And some children, it's like that. I had to make that decision with my older daughter because I know a traditional school
You have to be honest.
And she just, it's too rough. The world too rough.
It's too rough.
It's too rough for her.
And I mind you, my daughter's received immaculate grades, right? But I don't think that St. Augustine's is for her.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that St. John's is for her. Maybe a smaller school and maybe a different type of school.
Right.
Right? And I'm not going to throw money after money either.
Right.
If I send you to school and I see you fooling around, I will yank you out and
with the quickness.
Mm-hmm.
Arm Bailey. Not to say nothing wrong with Arm Bailey.
Exactly.
Because that's a great government school. But
it is. But you ain't
spending my hard-earned money.
For you to fool around.
And I want travel.
Exactly.
As a woman getting married, I want to travel. I want to do things with this man who can tap me on my shoulder at 2 a.m. I don't have time to do foolishness with my money. And you make sacrifices.
Because at the end of the day, she can leave you.
She can leave. Just like how she leave me last week and go on for the business. You make sacrifices for these children. And I know this may seem very gauche, right? But I buy clothes from you at a Walmart sometimes. Mm-hmm. I have the nice suits and all of that other good stuff. But I have sometimes I buy things out of Walmart. Mm-hmm. And I sacrifice for me so that she could have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She bring them a list the other day. She got into cheerleading. Cheerleading is $150.
I can tell you. I get Kenny getting worse.
$150.
It's getting worse.
The girls, the teenagers, they expensive.
Then she want a Stanley Cup for when they knew
and not the fake ones.
Okay.
Sharing to tease them. So it have to be name brand.
Exactly.
I tell you, little girl, she begged me for this little Sanrio cup with her favorite character, Cinema Roll. Come to find out, it's not an actual Stanley Cup. So she come back home and I still come back to school yet.
Then she want.
I can tell you. Them fake Stanleys pile up in my cupboard because my daughter say absolutely not.
Then she want
to put me to shame.
La Janage or Lanage. What a name?
Lanage.
She want Lanage lip balm. And she want this.
Summer Fridays and Sol de Janeiro.
I don't have no
Sol
de Janeiro.
Okay. That little small tube of body, but it's $45.
And she have the yellow one.
That's my daughter, same one. But number 62.
Exactly. I make sacrifices.
And mind you, I love it. I can't even buy it for me.
Okay. Like, okay.
And when you see her, she laddying up in her. I say, Naya.
Smelling like coconut walking down.
I say, Naya, just wash. Then he smell like Coconut City.
Mm-hmm. And vanilla, that's them.
But y'all.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. This text says, LOL, Mother's Day, we do get tired. I just go for a drive, then keep calling, asking, Mommy, you okay? And then I say yes and smile. Great answer. Trust in God and He will help you in the very end. I am proud of you, ladies. If older women in our country support and teach the younger women, we will have a better society. Please invite a grandmother on your show to educate other women. You know what I find amazing? These women that have been in the trenches and that have had husbands that have schemed, that have lied, that have adultered, they don't tell you the real story.
No.
They just post, we've been married 25 years, wonderful bliss.
Just be good to your husband. That's all they teach you. Be good to your husband.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. They don't really tell you do we really have anyone to tell us the real scoop?
On nothing, you know, because I was just talking about this, you know, so this is perimenopause awareness money. They wasn't talking about these kind of things either. They're not talking about how these things have an impact on motherhood and motherhood through the different stages for you, not just the children, you know, getting to different ages.
Because, honey, the perimenopause is real over here. Mm. Because I was saying on my live right before we cut in, and I shame because I look good. I look very, very good. I said, like, you laying down sleeping. I have the air conditioner on 16 now, plus the fan on 3, and the cover on, and then you kick your foot out, and that foot hot, and then the next foot cold, and then up underneath your neck gets boiling hot.
Maybe try waking up in puddles of sweat. I'm sorry, but listen to me. So I don't know what has been going on.
And I'm telling you.
So as a mother who is still raising relatively young children, not all of our children are still young.
Yes.
So I have children. I'm in a stage where I have children who still coming in the bed in the night. You waking up with puddles of sweat. I waking up with puddles of pee around me for babies coming in the bed. As well as me going through all of this at the same time.
So when do we get a break? Who have the ashwagandha, man?
Hello, he needs something.
I need something. And you bring that one cup of wine up here.
Exactly.
You could kill.
I tell you, the wine in the cup.
Girl, we have run completely out of time. And I'm sure Chris has a date tonight. Chris, you have a date.
Hot date.
But it's what day it is. It's Tuesday. People don't go on dates.
Chris is a young man. You see how handsome Chris is?
Tuesday?
With his dreadlocks. Chris is a handsome fella.
I don't know people go out on Tuesday.
They must be going to Johnny's for karaoke or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or Wings. Dollar Wings or something.
She love up a Johnny's now.
Wow.
One time I've been in my life.
Well, I won't go again.
And I'd love to go again. So you don't mind.
Are you going to Paradise Coast on Friday?
We can see how I can swing it. If I could find a child. Saturday, yeah, that's another thing that we don't talk about. With your one child.
We need to
ain't nobody coming
child,
to watch four children.
But that's you a could have one, story. But you can't have
you
four.
Can't have
four
but do you know children. That I told her everywhere with me? Like if I go to do funerals, if I go to do weddings.
But you can't hold a whole tribe.
No, because you all have tribes.
Exactly.
Jesus.
And people you can't find child.
No, people will opt to watch one child. Oh, yeah, come bring them. I mean, where are you going with them four children?
Four children? What y'all was thinking?
It wasn't. It's just vibes.
Vibes.
People ask, oh, did you plan to plan?
Plan?
The first one was never planned.
They planned
was
to lay
plan.
On my back. That's what they planned to do. Okay, where did PG? I'll behave. But honestly,
no, sweetie,
one day you need to talk about childcare for real. Not only that, because even...
What about cleaning the house? Because I've seen some homes, everything everywhere. Like,
you
what
mean mine? It looked like crime scene, yellow tape.
But
and then I have the heart to have white walls and everything.
Girl,
but
I
you
have a
have to
brush.
Understand too, Kenny. Like for me, my parents, I used to, like with my daughter, I would drop my daughter on the porch and speed off. They ain't gonna see me no more. But Tria can't do that. Not only that, my parents now need caregivers.
Right.
They go and choose. That's the next thing we ain't talking
about, being in the sandwich generation, Kenny, which you know all about as well. You raising the child, you taking care of your mommy. All of these different things are part of motherhood and just the culture of care, and the fact that the default for that is a woman.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, this is
so. When you talk about the mental load, that encompasses all of that.
I miss those days. I could have dropped that child and just speed off.
Gone are the days.
We wanted to be mothers, but we didn't really know the whole story.
That's
you know,
the truth.
I can tell
and
you.
And now these girls out there that don't want to be mothers and that say they just want a career, yeah. You cannot begrudge them.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you when people. Oh no, how could you, sweetie?
Good idea. Don't do it.
Don't do it, friend. Don't do it, friend.
You make it.
Get but your
climb that corporate ladder and live with yourself.
Not here with these women. Yeah. Here. Let's stay focused now, because you know they'll cut your neck right off. don't let's do that tonight. But ladies and gents, this has been another interesting opportunity for us to have a conversation in Kenny's Corner. It's another sexy Tuesday evening. Get your popcorn. Get your wine that some people didn't bring upstairs.
Oh, God.
And put your leg across that man or that woman and have yourself a good night. Have yourself a sexy Tuesday evening. Thank you so much to my dedicated listeners and to my texters and, of course, to my collaterals. When you send me the most interesting questions. And if you want to sponsor Kenny's Corner, please keep us in mind. We're Guardian Radio 96.9. Chris and I are here. Fresh news. Smart talk. All day. And I am not your superwoman. Chris, take us out.
And I can't help but to wonder if you're talking about me. We don't talk the way we used to talk. It's hurting so deep. I've got my...